WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Gail Kim.
This is WWE superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie.
And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
In this moment in time right now, this very second, I can truly say that I have the whole damn world in my hand.
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
And this is going to be simply glorious.
Gotta be loud, you gotta be rude, so the world can hear you. You gotta be crass, you gotta be cold, it's everything we know.
Turn it up, turn it up!
Another day, a double shot of hate, drink it up like gasoline.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Also, huge shout out to our friends over at Gerwig.net and FightBooth.com. Thank you so much for, you know, sponsoring us and hosting us and all that fun, happy stuff. We're happy to be a part of your sites. And, well, if you're listening to us over at WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, and Gerwick.net, awesome. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin. What?
Oh, I'm reading in a chat room, that's all. It's a show about car insurance or WrestleMania. Not about car insurance. We will not tell you to switch to Geico. That's just sort of a thing. Hi, everybody. We're live. We're here at WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com. Interact with us live at those websites or Gerwick.net, wherever you choose to be listening to us. We are available on TuneIn Radio, so if you're not buying a computer, you can just download the TuneIn Radio app. Free. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. We're there. We're live. Coast to coast, whether you're in New York, Philadelphia, Atlanta, or California, Oregon, or even in China.
If you're in Atlanta, get the hell off Interstate 85.
There's your car report.
Because you got problems. But yeah, no, we are here. We are talking all things WrestleMania. It's official. We are 4 days away from the big show on Sunday. Tomorrow is the Hall of Fame. Saturday is NXT. Sunday is Mania, Monday is Raw, Tuesday is SmackDown. It is the best week in wrestling history because it's just like nonstop wrestling.
It's nonstop wrestling indeed.
Like you have a hangover on Wednesday because there's so much. And then you do it all over again, you know, in a year. But
the cycle just continues on and on and on and on and on.
And on and on and on forever. So yeah. So we are talking all things Mania tonight. We have a super stacked show. Really not going to waste too much time because we want to get into it.
Hold on. We have breaking news.
Oh God. What?
B. because better late than never. As we do the formal introductions. By the way, at Rack Radio Show, at Wild Talk Radio, at Lynn's Ward, and at TJ Omega on the Twitter, because joining us is the NXT correspondent, because we said in the side boob that he was not here, and now he's here.
It's been a chaotic night, okay? Cut me some slack, I made it.
No! No, I will not cut you slack. We already told the people you weren't coming. We disappointed them, but you're here.
So now I've disappointed them by showing up.
No, not necessarily.
Just full of lies tonight. It's all my fault.
So don't believe, for the next 25 to 30 minutes, whatever he says, don't believe.
It's all a lie.
Right.
It's all a dream.
Does this mean I have to make my picks backwards like it's opposite day?
Yes.
That might get confusing.
Well, it may help with this card for NXT TakeOver.
It's not a bad card.
No, it's just very predictable, this card, it seems.
Well, I mean, let's be real. NXT's kind of been hurting a little bit since the draft because they took a lot of people, and they've been sort of struggling to establish new stars and really build some more names. So they're trying. I think they're back on the uptick again with this show, but we'll see what happens after Mania in terms of who debuts the Raw after Mania. But I don't think they're planning on taking anybody.
No, there'll be people. One person who left NXT last night, and here's your NXT rundown. No Sounder, because why not? The Drifter is...
We're saving time.
We're saving time, and I didn't bring it up because... Anyhow. The Drifter is drifting away from NXT. Does that mean he's coming to the main roster, or is he getting a gimmick change?
I don't know. Like, can you come back if you change your... Well, no, I guess you can, because Bo Dallas did that. So, he came back as Mr. Wrestling. Is that what he came back as?
I don't remember at this point. He wore a mask, that's all I remember. But everyone knew because of his, you know, white trunks. It was Bo Dallas.
Captain Mushroom.
Yeah, Captain Mushroom. That is indeed. The Believer. Or Bo-Lever, Bo Dallas. But yeah, you look at this card, and it's very, very... By the numbers, like, there's only really one match you could really say could be some indecision. Because we'll start with Sanity versus Roderick Strong, Ty Dillinger, No Way Jose, and Ruby Riott. Sanity's gotten the better of the babyfaces, so I would think the babyfaces get their revenge on Sunday? Or Saturday, rather?
Yeah, but Sanity hasn't really been... Like, they've been winning an individual competition, kind of, sort of, maybe, but they haven't really, I think, ever done a big team win like that. They don't do a lot of mixed big tag matches, you know? I think they did maybe the one or two, but you've seen them in singles ever since.
They did a six-man a few weeks ago, and I, off the top of my head, I can't remember who won, but...
I don't think it was Sanity. I think that was the first loss that got hung on them.
I would have to go look here in a minute.
Somebody to the Google machine and ask the Google machine who won.
But yeah, if you look at it, it just...
We'll give you a shout out on the show if you look it up.
Yeah. But if you look at the match, it just sort of swings the baby face way, right, Omega?
It kind of does, especially because you've got Ruby Riott debuting.
Mm-hmm.
She made a run in, and she's been in house shows, but this is the first time we're actually getting her in a match. So it definitely leans in their favor pretty heavily. Not to mention, it feels like Sanity has not really taken the way that I would have expected them to. Like it feels like, I don't know, it feels like the NXT crowd is not really responding to them the way I was expecting.
They've also come in and they've sort of been just a mid-card act. It's like, they're this big foursome, and it's like, but they haven't done anything that sort of have stood out.
Yeah.
Well, I think what hurt them is one of the guys got hurt really early on in the gimmick, and they had to kind of scramble to replace him, which they have. But I mean, it's, who are they? Why are they here? What do they want? You know, there's no real explanation in terms of Sanity, what it is even. You know, it's like, at least, you know, to me, it's like, it almost feels like Wyatt Family Light. But even with the Wyatt family, we knew what they were after, what they wanted. It was Sanity. You just don't know. They just sort of show up in this chaotic entrance and, you know, do whatever. Honestly, to me, the best part of Sanity is Nikki Cross.
See, and that's when Ruby Wright debuted the match in a no contest, so that was the sixth way, or the sixth person. So there was no winner. Nikki Cross is really the best part of Sanity at this point. I mean, the big dudes are the big dudes, but they're nothing special.
A lot of them, they haven't had time to be special.
And that's part of the problem.
Like, Killian Dane is even newer than the rest of the group at this point.
But Nikki Cross loves him, so that's that? I don't know. I I'm hoping that maybe after Mania they're going to start building Sanity into more of a threat, because the problem with this is you've got this foursome in NXT, and you really have no other factions in NXT. You have tag teams, but you don't have factions.
And maybe the direction will be you send them after the tag titles after WrestleMania weekend, because I got to figure one of the three teams in the tag title match is leaving.
My money's on the Revival.
So
fingers crossed.
So is mine. So it's like, yeah, I would figure it's the Revival. It's
the Revival or it's Gargano and Ciampa.
I think they anchor in NXT too much at this point. Revival seems like they've done everything they can do.
They're what, two-time, three-time tag team champions?
Two-time. They're the only two-time.
Two-time tag team champions at this point. So it's like, it's developmental. They've developed.
Yeah.
If they stay any longer, they're just going to regress instead of progress.
Plus I want them in American Alpha again.
Yeah.
And when they debut on Raw, you won't get that.
We're all gonna get screwed.
All the clown show tag teams in SmackDown, though, they need something serious.
Yeah, but SmackDown might get Gargano and Ciampa, so I'm not gonna say anything.
She's holding out hope.
I am holding out hope to get those two, because then it's like I may not have to really watch Raw, except for the fact, all right, we do a show about it. Never mind.
11:10 p.m. Eastern right here every Monday night.
Don't have to watch Raw. We're still doing the show, just not watching Raw anymore.
We can fake it. We can totally fake it. We've done it before. We can do it again. Anyway, let's get this back on track. Who's winning this little shindig?
Team Roderick Strong. Omega?
Team Dillinger.
You know what? I'm going to go against Curb. I'm going to say Sanity.
The Magic 8-Ball is leaning towards Team Strong. All right, next. Andrade Cien Almas versus Aleister Black making his debut. I mean, really, come on. Like,
it's the power of the debut.
Yeah.
Not going to argue with this one at all.
All in favor of Black, say aye.
Aye.
So did the 8-Ball. Next match.
Even the 8-Ball knew this one.
It's like, there's no way Andrade's winning.
There isn't. Just
so that means Saturday when we're all going to look stupid when Andre, you know, holds the tights and wins.
Bring in someone new with a bunch of high packages just for them to get squashed.
Actually, Black looks really, like, really, really interesting. I'm kind of excited for him. I'm not going to lie.
In match that should be really, really good, the NXT Tag Team titles, Authors of Pain, DIY, and The Revival. We know DIY and Revival can have a really good match. DIY pulled out a great match against the Authors of Pain a couple months ago.
Part of me wouldn't mind if the Authors of Pain just took a headshot early in the match and we just got, you know, a good 15 minutes with DIY and Revival.
Remember, it's an elimination match, so that could happen. We can get rid of the Authors of Pain and just sort of get rid of them for a while and for the match. But I don't think they're the first team out. I think the Revival's the first team out.
Most likely, yes.
Yeah, get rid of them early, because then they can come back and they can impact the finish one way or another.
But, go ahead, Amiga.
Well, in standard booking, you'd see the monster tag teams, you know, run over them to get the first pinfall of the match, and then DIY has a mountain to climb. Or two mountains in this case, because, good lord, they big.
Two mountains and a hill, if you count Ellering.
This is very true. But I look at the Authors of Pain, and they're big dudes. But then I look down the road and I look at Heavy Machinery, and those are big dudes. And I want to mess with Heavy Machinery down the line. That said, I wouldn't want to see Authors of Pain versus Heavy Machinery, because that would be a cluster, you know what. So I guess DIY should get the belts back.
You know, honestly, I don't know if they're going to. Because just thinking about, okay, so you have the Revival leave that gets rid of one heel tag team. That really leaves the Authors of Pain. Who else really is there? There's Sanity, who's heel... ish.
They're heels. They're straight up heels.
You have Heavy Machinery, who's babyface, so they're coming. Who else?
You don't have them. You have DIY, and that's about it. You don't have that many tag teams that... Well, you can always create tag teams down in NXT. That's the one positive about developmental. You can always create something.
Yeah, they have that at their disposal. I mean, honestly, to me, I don't think they're going to take the belts off of Authors of Pain. I see them doing something with them similar to Ascension, where they hold those for a while. Because, you know, it doesn't make sense for them to win them so quickly and then to lose them again. Especially to DIY. If they're supposed to be this monster tag team, they should be able to take care of the Revival and DIY without a problem.
I see your point.
But that doesn't leave them anywhere to go.
That's the problem.
But you've got one heel team and you've got one face team, or technically two face teams. So if you put it back on the babyfaces, then you've got the two face team, or the two heel teams and the one face team. So it's like, it all balances. But it's like, at least with Authors of Pain, once they get rid of DIY and Revival, then they have Heavy Machinery coming up. So that'll be a good...
I think
people, can you see DIY versus Heavy Machinery, though?
I can see it's a better matchup than Authors of Pain versus Heavy Machinery.
Eh?
Because it's too early for Heavy Machinery to be put in that position. I'm going DIY. I don't know. That's me. You're sticking with Authors of Pain, Lindsay?
Yeah, I think they keep them.
What about you, Omega?
I think it goes back to DIY.
And the April agrees it's going back to DIY. We've been talking about this match since August. Even though it hasn't been booked since August, we've been talking about it because we knew the direction they would get to. And we've been wondering, how are they going to wait to get there? Well, we've seen how they've been waiting to get there. It's Asuka versus Ember Moon for the NXT Women's Championship. It's going to be good. Or I hope it's really good.
I'm excited for this. I've been waiting for them to book this for a while. Ever since Ember Moon showed up in NXT, we're all like, okay, all right, whenever you're ready. Really, whenever you're ready, you can go ahead and do Ember Moon versus Asuka. We're fine with that. I mean, totally 100% fine. And then you're like, Mania. We're going to have to wait for Mania, and it's here, and we're going to get Asuka versus Ember Moon. I cannot wait for this.
There's something in my head that's almost more excited for this than seeing Rude and Nakamura.
Everything in my head is more excited for this than Rude and Nakamura.
They've built this for so long. You know, you've got two that have never taken a pinfall or a submission. You know, the champion leaves, and the other one's streak is broken.
Right.
Asuka's like 160-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's Goldberging right now.
Like, the internet is very fascinated with this record. It's like, okay, got you, internet. I got it.
Well, she's a little colorful murder machine.
She is.
She should be undefeated like that.
And she's destroyed everyone in her path.
As she should.
As she should. And it's been a year since she won the belt. She beat Bayley. She choked out Bayley. We all thought Bayley was going up right after. It took like 4 or 5 more months.
It's been this long that they've had just to build back up to a women's roster where there is a credible contender again. It's another advantage you have in developmental is that you have this sea of people that you can find someone who can actually ascend to that rank. You know, I'm just so... I'm interested because I could see it going either way, just depending on how confident they are in the women's division now.
I think it's too predictable Ember wins. I really think it's too predictable.
But you see, we say that sometimes, and then things like Brock happens, depending on which side of the coin is on, a win or loss. You know, every time you think it's a foregone conclusion that's the way it's going to go, every now and then they don't. Like, I feel like it could go either way on this one.
But here's the thing, it's, as we said, Asuka's beaten everybody. Everybody. So who mounts the challenge for Asuka after Ember Moon?
Yeah, that was kind of the point I was making, is that they've spent this long building up someone you think does have a shot against Asuka. It's taken a long time to get Ember Moon up to this point. Like, we've been excited for it, because she's, you know, Ember Moon's great and all that, but you needed that time to make you go, well, Asuka, who is just... is just the death rainbow, can, you know, could actually be beaten by somebody. You don't really have anyone else like that. It's like, I could see challengers coming up against Ember Moon that would be credible right now, but like I said, Asuka has laid out everyone. There's no one left.
And maybe this is Asuka heading to the main roster, because you can't go anywhere with her after this point. Like, she's reached her peak.
You know, and they do need that blood in the main roster right now.
Send her up to Raw and let her just mess up Raw. Her versus Charlotte. Jesus hell. Her versus Sasha.
Oh my god.
Do her versus Bayley again. I mean, Lord. Even her versus Nia again. I mean, just send her up. Just do the thing. Please invigorate the Raw Women's Division, because Lord knows they need the help.
So, predictions. Who you got, Omega?
A little foregone, but I think it's Ember Moon.
Lindsay.
Ember.
A-Ball says Ember. I guess Ember. I could see a scenario where Asuka wins, and they have Ember challenge one more time and then beat her, but I'll go Ember. NXT Championship, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura. It's a simple, here's my rematch clause, and they're going to burn a match. Build-up has just been non-existent, really, because they've sold Shinsuke being hurt, and Bobby's been feuding with Kasha's Never Wear White. Ono. Simple enough, Bobby.
Yeah, seeing as you're already setting up Ono versus Rude for the title, I think Bobby's gonna go ahead and beat Shinsuke, and this could be Shinsuke's call up to the main roster.
You know it's a sign when they're called up. Shinsuke now has a logo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Shinsuke's been down there for
1 year now.
Yeah. I was going to say about a year. So, you know, they really only had him down there to kind of get him acclimated to being in the States full time and to sort of get him used to working a WWE type style and just get him comfortable working in their rings and everything. So he's there. You know, they didn't really have to do a lot of work with him, which was good.
It's more of, here's the hard camera. Here's where you look. Here's where you look here. Done.
Because he doesn't really, I think, work at the Performance Center much. I think he just comes down for tapings and that's it. He's kind of like rude. It's like he's sound wrestling wise. They were trying to get him comfortable in other areas and sort of help him in other areas. And, you know, I think it's time he comes up.
So I'm going rude. You're going
rude.
Omega's going
rude for a lot of the same reasons.
Hey, Paul's go ahead.
I think, I was going to say a lot of people were saying that he shouldn't have even been in developmental in the first place.
That's very true.
Because Nakamura is just that damn good.
But he helped to invigorate it when it needed it.
Oh, yeah. Like, I will say this. Like, I don't think Nakamura needed NXT, but I think NXT needed Nakamura.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
8-Ball is going with Bobby Roode. Now, I'm previewing the match to watch because this is the more important question. What kind of entrance is Shinsuke Nakamura going to have this time?
If he doesn't wear that goddamn crown, I'm going to throw something. I want the crown and the cape, damn it. I want it.
I really wish they weren't keeping the lid on the bottle for a little bit longer, because part of me really wants broken Matt's violin playing down to the ring.
Well, Matt was a piano, so it wasn't a violin, but yeah, I get your point.
I know you kind of done everything. Like, I want that Cena entrance, except with a hall of violin players.
Mm-hmm.
Just get him the whole damn orchestra.
And what about Bobby?
Just get him the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Who will have the better entrance, Bobby or Shinsuke?
Ooh.
Let's see, Bobby had the better one last time. He is the champion, so I would say Shinsuke.
I'm going to say Shinsuke as well, because it's probably be a swan song, so they'll probably do it up big.
Part of me thinks Roode, just because he lends himself more to the grandiose entrances.
All right, then. So that's your NXT TakeOver Orlando preview. It will happen this Saturday, only on the WWE Network.
So when we come back, we are going to be doing everybody's favorite Tweet of the Week, and we are talking all things WrestleMania and the extremely large, super long card, which we are going to get into in depth. So everybody, go to the bathroom, get a snack, get something to drink, because we're going to be here for a while. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
The greatest Sega video game of all time? CB Radio has decided.
Boom shakalaka! He's on fire!
It is the Greater Than Great Debate, heard every Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern on CB Radio, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sega!
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns,
maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. Maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off,
Thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Tuesday night, step inside the virtual realm with WTR Sims.
It's Boots the Asses time!
Watch as your favorite WTR personalities battle it out to find out which one truly is the best.
To be the man! You gotta beat the man!
Watch it live Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow or on demand at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Tuesday nights will never be the same again with WTR Sims.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
With WrestleMania fast approaching, we dive into some WrestleMania moments in video game form. Starting March the 19th at noon Eastern, check out youtube.com/rackradioshow and witness awesome WrestleMania moments. Then, every day leading up to the show of shows, check back at noon Eastern for another WrestleMania moment every single day. Subscribe today to youtube.com/rackradioshow so you can witness WrestleMania moments.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Also, a shout out to everybody listening to us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, and RackRadioShow.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. And last but not least, a shout out to the fine folks over at FightBooth.com. Thanks so much for sponsoring us. You guys are awesome. Everybody go check them out. Your source for news on everything. Not just wrestling, sports, you name it, they've got it. Fightbooth.com. And now, we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're given. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Kevin Owens. The match didn't go my way, but I see half of the SmackDown crew wrestles in a shirt now. Nice to see how many guys I've inspired over there. WWE creative humor. Someone want to check on the cameraman that The Undertaker just buried alive? Hashtag Raw. WWE creative humor. Either The Undertaker can teleport, or that was a pre-tape. Gee, I wonder which.
He knows how to teleport.
He knows how to teleport,
it's
clearly.
It's the magics.
Taker has magics, we all know that. WWE creative humor. The Undertaker is so mystical that he can conjure commercial breaks at will. Yes, yes he can. And Sheamus. Just two gobshites having a brew, as you do. And it's a picture of Sheamus and Cesaro at their signing tonight for Access. Scar and all. 'Cause yeah, Brent. Really? Really? We do have a blame Brent. We almost forgot about it. Sheamus' face.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Jesus, dude. Anyway, I'm done. Go ahead.
DD tweets. Fight Owens, fight. They've mistaken you for Braun. What happened is Braun asked the media department to make sure to choose a picture that makes him look like a great wrestler, because they used Kevin Owens' picture instead of Braun Strowman. Someone asked Dolph Ziggler, what's your prediction for the Browns next season? Pain. Jim Cornette responding to WWE. Breaking, WWE Rock and Roll Express will be inducted to a Hall of Fame class by Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette tweets, wear your winter clothes to Florida. A cold snap is headed towards hell.
Okay, no, I have to mention this. I had to go to Louisville last week after this got announced. It freaking dropped to 32 for one day in Louisville. So Cornette, not wrong. Anyway, I'm sorry, continue.
Kevin Owens, think it's wild that Jim Cornette is inducting the Rock and Roll Express into the WWE Hall of Fame? Just wait until he has to induct me.
God.
Fake Sports Center. The Jets have signed quarterback Josh McCown. His mediocre career fits in perfectly with the Jets' history at the quarterback position. Yup. Keep it 5-star. Sami Zayn, the Ned Flanders of Raw. Yup.
Yup.
Ben Weber, Manti Te'o is smart to sign with the Saints. Louisiana has great catfish. I see what you did there.
Well done.
Well played. Baby Hebner, Dad, why do you appoint yourself to all the girls' matches on Impact Wrestling? Because it keeps my heart. His father goes, because it keeps my heart going strong. Oh boy, he was making out with ODB and Rebel. It's weird.
Because he's Earl Hebner.
Bailey tweets, not anyone is asking, but if you want to hang out WrestleMania weekend. Friday, and she lists off her dates, right? Carmella goes, I'll be waiting outside your hotel room so I can see you every chance I can get. Bailey goes, I'll leave a light on for you. Kazi replies, what are you, Motel 6? Bailey goes, glad someone got that. WWE Network, you better believe tables were broken in the battle between the Hardy Boys at the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania. Did Matt Hardy, did someone say broken? Exquisite.
No.
Not sports.
Go to Raw. Send them to Raw.
Teleport them to Raw. Not sports that are breaking. The NFL owners approved 31-1 to move the Cleveland Browns to Mars, where they will safely be hidden away from children's eyes. Thank God. Someone, Carmella tweets to gorgeous. Who's your favorite superstar, female superstar on SmackDown Live? Hint, hint. Will Ellsworth. JJ Williams. Hit him with lightning. He's already wet. Referring to Roman Reigns. Noelle Foley. One day, Roman's daughter will go to the WWE warehouse and see her dad's tombstone and be very freaked out. Trust me. I know the feeling.
Yep.
WWE creator fish. Cat. At John Cena called Mike the Miz a cat. It's cat. Matt Hardy. This will be the ladder match that steals the monumental week of wrestling. And it's because House Hardy is in it. Little Caesars replied. Here's to the most hashtag broken superkick party filled ladder match ever. This weekend. Matt Hardy replied, are you also a spot monkey, Little Caesar? I love that the accounts do that. They mess with the wrestlers. I love it.
You could tell which social media coordinators are wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
You really can. And it's awesome. Because there's more of them than you think there would be.
Right. Trevor, why is it a crime for fans to visit the WrestleMania hotel? It's not a crime. It's when you bombard the wrestlers on the property. If you're not a person in the hotel, you shouldn't be on the property, legally. That's the rule. If you're not staying at the hotel, you shouldn't be on the property. once you overstay your welcome on the property, and you get, you know, you start running up to people and you cause chaos when there's hundreds of people moving in and out of the building. That's the problem. That should explain that. Now, it's WrestleMania time.
Woohoo! The show of shows is here!
Okay, now, there are 13 matches on the show. We can't talk about them yet. There's something more pressing we need to talk about.
Like?
The set.
Oh, God. Okay. You've been waiting. You are so excited about this set. So, this is yours. You go.
This set is amazing. Like, they're building a goddamn roller coaster. I don't know if it's a working roller coaster.
But I don't think it is.
But it's a roller coaster.
I think it's... Well, okay. To be fair, it's actually not just a roller coaster. It's an entire theme park. They're building a roller coaster. They have the little, I guess it's not a Tilt-A-Whirl, but it's like the drop ride. I don't know what that's called because I don't ride stuff like that. Where they hoist you up in the air and then they drop you.
Yeah, I don't know what that's called. And you know the Universal logo, the globe and everything? They have the globe built with the word WrestleMania on it.
And then they're building a ring on top of the ring. I mean, this, and the ramp. Can we talk about the ramp? Forget the set. Can we talk about the ramp?
Well, that is part of the set.
The ramp starts at the top of the concourse of the stadium, comes down through the bowl to the ring. This has got to be the longest ramp they have ever built in the history of WrestleMania. And it's going to take Taker 25 years to get down it, unless they make him float again. I think that's the only way they're going to get him to the ring in a timely fashion. Or they get the Royal Rumble cards.
One or the other. Yeah.
And good lord, John Cena's going to, like, fall over dead because he sprints to the ring. And he's going to have to sprint, like, essentially half a football field to get to the ring.
This is a factual statement.
Because the ring's sitting on the 50-yard line, and the ramp starts past the end zone, essentially at the edge of the stadium. I hope they have their conditioning good, because, man, that's a long jog.
Yeah, for those watching at home, you can turn to the very expensive player, I'm trying to think of a name for it, and you can see the picture of the set that's being built, or the ramp we're talking about, and how long this ramp is. It's extremely long.
Yes, yes it is. I just want to address this real quick in the chat room, because we have a question from Chicky Singer. Why is it a crime for the fans to visit the WrestleMania Hotel? It's technically not a physical crime.
I just addressed this.
Well, I'm going to address it again, so shut up.
Okay.
It's not a technical crime, but it's a security risk. And I think they want to keep fans out of the hotel because it's a crazy weekend anyway. And it's really the only refuge that the wrestlers have to get away because they're surrounded by fans. And they're constantly doing stuff. So it's really a way to keep the wrestlers safe, to keep the fans safe, to make sure nobody tries to do anything to any of the talent. Which I'm not saying anybody would, but you just don't know with so many people coming into the area. There's going to be a groundswelling of like what? What was Hunter saying? Like 130 to 150,000 people are coming in for this. So it's like if everybody tries to get into the hotel to see the wrestlers, it could just get awkward.
And it's also private property.
And it's also private property, so it's WWE, you know, and the hotel may not want people coming in and trying to get up, because it's like, here's the thing, it's like, once you have people get in the lobby, then you're going to have people trying to get up on the floors, you're going to have people trying to get into rooms, and that's just something they don't want. So they're trying to nip it in the bud by basically saying, look, nobody that is not, basically, if you're not supposed to be there, you shouldn't be there. It's just like kind of like any other sports team, you know, where they don't want fans in the hotel kind of thing. It's been like that for a few years, but I think they've tightened it down this year where they don't want fans in the hotel.
Especially,
but obviously, if you're staying in the same hotel.
Yeah, if you're staying in the same hotel, then you have all rights to be there. But if you're standing outside waiting for wrestlers, you're causing problems to the people who are not just wrestlers in the hotel.
Well, I don't think it was. I don't even think it was people that were standing outside. I think it was people going in.
What I'm saying, they don't want you in the. They don't want you going in if you're not a person staying at the hotel. All right, now that all that fun stuff's out of the way, now it's time to dig into WrestleMania, the full card.
Yay!
13 matches.
Oh, Lord. 6 hours.
Okay, I gotta address this for a second, because this ties in everything. If you are upset that your favorite wrestler is on the pre-show, deal with it. I mean, should the women's match be on the main show? Sure, you should have every right to be on the main show.
Actually, I think it did get moved to the main show.
When?
I think it got moved today.
Okay, so for anyone who is upset that the Cruiserweight match is on the pre-show, deal with it. They're going to get more time. I was listening to Bring It to the Table earlier tonight, and JBL mentioned some ridiculous number that there was like 5 million people who saw the pre-show last year. That's a lot of...
I'd just like to point this out because it ties into what you're saying. Austin Aries tweeted this out, and it's quite relevant to this, where he says, seeing a lot of passionate opinions about my Cruiserweight title match being announced for the WrestleMania pre-show, here's mine. I'm never relegated to anything. I'm just who you add to things you need to elevate. WrestleMania pre-show is now must-see. So there you go.
Ashley on Twitter confirms it was moved to the main show. Somehow I missed this. All right, awesome. It's on the main show.
It happened late this afternoon where they decided to move it to the main show because Becky Lynch tweeted out that, you know, you spoke up, you're awesome, thank you.
So there you go. You got to move to the main show. But it's still with the Cruiserweights. It's a stigma thing. WWE should just announce it's a five-hour show and people would deal with it because that's what it is. It is a 5-6-hour show. It's all WrestleMania. If you want to see your favorite wrestler, make sure you see it. It's always on demand. You can always see it. If you weren't going there, make sure that you're there early. That's all.
Well, it's kind of awkward because they open the doors, and the way that they've done it in the past with the two-hour pre-shows, they've opened the doors and they have a match going on right as the doors, they let the fans in. So nobody's really in the stadium yet because you have to get 100,000 people, essentially.
70.
Whatever. Into, conservatively, 100,000. Just because it's a nice round number. It's probably going to be closer to 70 given this stadium, but it's like last year they had to get 100,000 people into the stadium and into their seats. And of course, everybody has to come in and they have to hit the merch stands and they have to get food because you've been standing in line already for an hour to get into the show. And so it's not smart to have something go on right at like 5:30 because nobody's there. So I can see how people would be upset if they took, you know, say the SmackDown Women's Championship or the basically took a title match and put it on at 5:30 and said, okay, here you go. And nobody's there to see it. Like, I can see how people would be upset about that. I can see how the wrestlers would be upset about that. But I think they've maybe wisened up on this a little bit. And they're going to do the matches in the second hour, right before Mania, where that hour, I think, is on USA.
It is indeed on the USA Network. All right. We'll answer Chicky's and LeMann's question as we go forward.
Yes.
All right. Up first, Andre John Memorial Battle Royals on the kickoff show. Going to really speed through this. Sami Zayn, Braun Strowman, Goldust, R-Truth, Curtis Axel, Dolph Ziggler, Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso, Chad Gable, Chase Enduring, Primo, Epico, Bo Dallas, Jinder Mahal, Rhino, Heath Slater, Apollo Crews, Mojo Riley, Big Show, Kurt Hawkins, Tyler Breeze, Fandango, Tian Bing, and Mizark Henry. Who you got?
Mizark Henry is in this?
They announced on the social medias that Mizark Henry is going to be entering the Battle Royale.
Oh, God.
Braun Strowman.
Yeah, Braun Strowman. Strowman.
Braun.
Yeah, I mean, they've been kind of sort of like teasing it that Braun's going to win. They're pushing the hell out of Braun. You know, it didn't exactly do wonders for Baron, but...
Hey, Baron's in the Intercontinental title match.
Baron's in the Intercontinental title match. Well, he kind of floundered a little bit because I think they had him win that, and then they brought him up to the main roster, and they're like, okay, what the hell do we do with him?
Feud with Dolph Ziggler.
They had him feud with Dolph Ziggler for like 8 months. So I think Braun has a little bit more of a direction. It will just be a nice little feather in his cap for as he moves forward. You know, they're not ready to put a title on him, but they'll give him this. And then this kind of sets him up to start going for titles. So yeah, Braun Strowman.
Well, the man's kind of upset that the tag teams are in this. I'm going to explain this to you. There's 13 goddamn matches on the show. You don't need a 14th. Sucks SmackDown tag team titles aren't alive, but they said, again, I'm going to quote, bring it to the table. 13 matches on the show. Someone's got to get cut off the show. And they're still performing on the show, so it's not like they're missing out.
Here's the thing. It's either they go in this match or you have the SmackDown, all the SmackDown tag teams essentially do their own tag team turmoil type thing where they don't get as much time.
And they would be on at 5:30.
And they would be on at 5:30. They would be on the pre-show anyway, and they would be on at 5:30. So it's like, it sucks that the titles are not getting defended at WrestleMania. I agree with you, but I think they're really making an effort to get everybody on the show one way or another. So it's like, okay, we can't, they probably timed it out and realized, okay, we don't have room for this. So into the Battle Royal you go. That's where everybody's going. That it's like, if they do not have room for you on the card, guess where you go? If you're a guy, you go into the Battle Royal.
Matt, who's pissed off in the chat? Certainly not me.
No.
No.
We love interaction.
I love
it. We love it. Talk to us, please.
I'm more annoyed by the internet people in general when they write stuff on the Twitter machines oh my god, the so-and-so is not on the thing. All you hear. Anyway, mojo for the video game and the 8-ball. Second pre-show match is the Cruiserweight Championship, Neville versus Austin Aries. She quoted the Austin Aries tweet a little bit ago about their placement on the show. It's now must-see. I said this on Sunday. The smartest thing they could do is put this match on the Cruiserweight, on the pre-show, because why? It won't slow down WrestleMania for 10 minutes by changing the goddamn ropes. Because that's what they do. You give these guys, you save the time for 15 minutes and let them be, and you go from there.
Yeah.
These two will have a hell of a match.
It'll be really, really good. As he said, they're not going to be wasting the time changing the ropes. And also, honestly, getting put on the pre-show is probably better, because you're going to get the crowd when they're really fresh. The last thing you want to do is plunk this match in the middle of the main card when the crowd's tired. Because let's remember, this is a 6-hour show. The fans have probably been there for 8 hours, at least at that point, and that's if they didn't go to Access. Because you have to be at WrestleMania, you have to be at the venue, at least an hour beforehand, before they open the doors, to get in line, to get in the building. Because you're filing that many people in. So it's like, a lot of people get down early, and they hang out around the stadium, they go to Access, they do whatever. So you've been there all day. People are tired by that point. So you're getting the crowd when they're super jazzed up, they're coming in, they're ready for the show, and you're going on first. So you're setting the tone for the whole show. So actually getting on the pre-show is not necessarily a bad placement, because you get the crowd when they're fresh. So the Cruiserweights, Neville and Aries, are going to get the crowd when they're probably going to be at their most excited, which is not a bad thing.
Compared to every other time 205 Live is taped.
Yeah, so they're going to get a fresh crowd. They're going to get a rowdy crowd, because it's going to be the international folks that are going to be there too. This should actually be really entertaining, both from a wrestling and a crowd standpoint.
You give these guys 10-15 minutes, you got a match of the night.
Yeah.
Simple as that. As far as a winner goes, I want to say Neville, because I don't think the King of the Cruiserweight reign should be over just yet.
I think it's a little early for Aries. I mean, I love Austin, absolutely adore him, but it feels like a little early.
And with other titles I want to have changed tonight on the show, I don't need to change this one.
Mm-mm.
That's lightning. Neville for the 8-ball video game. Now we get to the main show. Let's start with the tag titles, the Raw Tag Team titles. Gallows and Anderson, Enzo Amore, and Big Cass, and Sheamus and Cesaro in a ladder match. Again, every year they have to have a ladder match spectacular, and this is the point of the show where they're going to put it very early in the show. It's going to be a car crash, as we've seen. Enzo and a ladder is dangerous, or Cass and a ladder is dangerous, whoever had it. Sheamus is bloody. One of those things. This should be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I do not expect Sheamus and Cesaro to walk out as champions.
No, but this should be a lot of fun.
I think Gallows and Anderson's time is up, and you need to break the glass ceiling for Enzo and Cass. So Enzo and Cass.
I mean, Enzo and Cass are really, and I say this a lot, but it's like Enzo and Cass are really always the bridesmaid, never the bride team. Always. They can never really seem to get to the tag titles.
And if you watch the WWE 24 special and how much the hard work they put in to get to the main roster, you know they deserve this moment. It's like they never got the belts in NXT, so a title win would be fresh for them. This would be the first time they've ever done it. And it will allow them on Monday Night Raw to come out and do their big spiel with the tag titles.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I want to see Enzo and Cass win. If nothing else, it gives them something to do, because really they've kind of gotten a little stale lately. So it's like this will add a little bit of life, a little bit of freshness to them.
So I'm going Enzo and Cass. You're going Enzo and Cass. 8-Ball's going Enzo and Cass. But Gallows and Anderson from the video game.
Just has to be different.
Intercontinental title, Dean Ambrose versus Baron Corbin. This has forklifts. This has people been thrown into a chamber. This will be hard-hitting and physical for about 10 minutes.
I actually really like this pairing. I really, really do. I really actually do love this pairing, because they fight like 5-year-olds.
Especially Dean.
Especially Dean. Like, I told Rock this the other night. It's like, it's kind of a shame they're feuding, because I could totally see that in another light, these two could be like awesome drinking buddies. Just because they both have that really dry, sarcastic wit. It's like, they could actually probably get along really well if they tried hard enough. So I've really actually kind of enjoyed this feud. I'd like to see a little bit more of it. And I don't know who's going to win this match. This is one of the hard ones for me to call, because it's like, okay, you put the IC title on Dean. You know, you really haven't had Dean. You put it on Dean to get it off of Miz, so Miz could feud with Cena. Dean hasn't really done a lot with the title, which is, you know, pretty stock standard. And now you have Corbin mounting a challenge. I mean, everything points to Corbin should beat Dean, but it's Dean.
It is Dean. Everything is correct. It is Dean.
Like, that's the wild card. It's Dean.
it's the predictability factor that plays into this match. The story goes, Baron should get the belt. He's progressed to that level where he should get the belt. But if WWE is thinking, okay, the rest of the show is too predictable, then they would keep the belt on Dean, and then they can always do on SmackDown Live on Tuesday, Baron Corbin wins the belt. That said, Baron made a compelling point, kind of, on Talking Smack. He won the Battle Royal. He's 1-0. Winning at WrestleMania this year makes him 2-0. I'm going 2-0. Baron Corbin is your new Intercontinental Champion.
I mean, personally, I actually do want to see Baron win the title, so I'm going to say Baron. You can always have Dean get it back, and also, depending on what they do in the WWE Championship match, they may move Dean back up into the main title picture, but we'll just have to see. But yeah, I actually really kind of want to see Baron win the title, so Baron Corbin.
Again, it's it's a story of progression. We always talk about how WWE stops progression. They see something in Corbin. You got to keep him moving up the ladder, slowly but surely. This would be a nice level. He's not ready for the main spots for the WWE title. Intercontinental title is a pretty good level for him right now. 8-Ball has Baron, video game has Dean. Alright, now we're getting into the real meat and potatoes of the show. WWE United States Championship is on the line. Chris Jericho defends against Kevin Owens. This is one of the most built up stories in this entire show. This has been building since they became a tag team heading into SummerSlam, and then so on and so forth. So they were a team, they were best friends, supposedly. And then they've sort of had tension, and then they became best friends again, and you just had the ups and downs. You had the real roller coaster ride for these two ever since August. And they've built this matchup so perfectly. Like, they hit the moment where Chris Jericho got turned on by Kevin Owens, and then Chris Jericho crossed Kevin Owens the Universal title and all that fun stuff, and now he's been officially added to the list. They've built this ride, so it's climaxing at WrestleMania. I love this story.
This has been a really, really, really well done few on all levels. They had them become, like you said, they had them become best friends, and now they're bitter enemies. You had Owens play Jericho. This has just all been really, really well executed, well written. And this is another really hard one to predict.
I'm going to correct the man. This match was never, the story was never built around the Universal title. It was built around friendship. That's what this was built around. Was the Universal title a factor? Yes. But it was a build around friendship.
The Universal title really only came into play when they needed to get it off of Owens. One, to do this feud. Two, because they wanted it involved in Lesnar and Goldberg. So it's like they took the title off of Owens to be able to have him feud with Jericho for the United States title. So that way Goldberg and Lesnar could fight over the main title. Which is fine. But I mean, it's like the Universal title, Jericho never went for it. That's the thing. Like, Jericho had every opportunity to turn on Owens and try and take the title off of him, and he didn't do it. So I would argue strongly that it wasn't about the Universal title, because if it was, then we would have seen that match way sooner than what we did.
Alright, LeMans goes, I understand, but neither is Goldberg Lesnar. It's about revenge and redemption. Great that you mentioned redemption. In the WWE 33 WrestleMania Collectors, Special Collectors Edition magazine, available on newsstands everywhere right now. Review now at youtube.com/rockradioshow. The one thing it says for Brock Lesnar is redemption. It says it right there in blue lettering underneath his red lettering in Brock Lesnar. It says redemption. That's a story for Brock Lesnar. Goldberg gets validation. That's what the story is all about. That being said, that was a shameless plug for the magazine.
Go check out our YouTube special.
The YouTube exclusive, youtube.com/rockradioshow. Now, this match is simple and easy to predict. It's Kevin Owens.
You sure about that?
I'm 120% sure about it.
Because I think it's Jericho.
Why do you say Jericho?
You had Owens beat him up. You had Owens humiliate him. Yes, you've had Jericho sort of get a small measure of revenge, but I think the ultimate payoff is Jericho beating Owens for that title. I don't see them, for whatever reason, I don't see them changing the U.S. title at WrestleMania. I see them doing it the Raw after. Because I know Jericho's getting ready to go back out on tour again. He's leaving shortly after WrestleMania, so you have a little bit of time to take that title off of him. But for whatever reason, I see Jericho going over at Mania.
Okay, Kevin Owens for the 8-Ball in the video game. I see Kevin Owens taking it, but you could be right. You could totally be right about it.
Because, again, it's the predictable thing, right, to put the title on Owens. They're going to do the predictable thing with Corbin. They're going to change the title with Corbin. So it's like, are you going to change all the titles on Mania, or are you going to have some people retain? It's like, you can change the U.S. title anytime you want. Do you want to do it on Mania, or do you want to save it for the Raw after?
Vince has done that before. I could see that.
So it's like, that's why I see it's like Jericho wins and beats Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens is so pissed off that on Monday Night Raw, he just absolutely destroys Chris Jericho. And they either take the title off of Jericho because of the injury, or you have Owens defeat him for the title on Raw.
Possible, but I'm still saying Kevin Owens. SmackDown Women's Championship is on the line in a six-pack challenge. There was a comment earlier about Maria Kanellis and Eve Torres and Caitlyn all being contacted, etc., about possibly being in this match. They're not being in this match. It is a six-pack challenge for the SmackDown Women's title. It's Alexa Bliss, Carmella, Becky Lynch, Naomi, Natalya, and Mickie James. They kind of sort of were telling us it's those six because of they were trying to wait on the surprise. That's all it was.
Yeah, but, well, they couldn't hold their surprise, so they went for it anyway. They brought Naomi back on SmackDown on Tuesday, and she said that she was challenging for the title, so it became a six-pack challenge. Very, very excited for this match. Should be a lot of fun. A lot of different dynamics. All the women are making the show, which is a great, great thing to see. But personally, it's Orlando. They took the title off of Naomi so she could win it at WrestleMania in her hometown. I'm calling Naomi on this just because they're going to give her that moment. That's what this feels like to me. I know it's super predictable, but I don't think they're going to do anything super crazy with this. I don't see Alexa winning that or holding on to the title. I think they are going to change it and give Naomi the moment at WrestleMania to take back her SmackDown Women's Championship.
All valid points.
Because it's not going to be Carmella. It's not going to be Becky. It's not going to be Natty. It's either going to be Alexa, Naomi, or Mickey.
I'm going Alexa. I don't know. I think it's too predictable on Naomi. I really, really do, and I like Alexa. Carmella's not winning it. Natty's not winning it. You know what? I'm going Mickey James. I'm sitting here trying to put it up, thinking out of my head. It's like, they brought back Mickey for a reason. You can do Alexa versus Mickey for the belt. I'm going to go with Mickey.
Works for me. What's next?
Alexa in the video game and the 8-ball. Up next, where should we go next? Let's stick with women. We'll do Raw women. Bayley, Sasha, Nia, and Charlotte.
This is a hard one to call, just because of who is in this match, where you've got Bayley, who's your current champion, you have Sasha and Charlotte, who are previous champions, we all know the history between Bayley, Sasha, and Charlotte, and then you're throwing in the X-Factor, which is Nia Jax.
They've built this up decently. I wouldn't say it's the best build-up, but they've done a decent job with it. The money feud is Bayley versus Sasha. I don't know if it's payback is in San Jose. That's the next pay-per-view for Raw. So that's Bayley's hometown. So there's always that factor that plays into it. Bayley and Sasha is a SummerSlam match. It 100% is a SummerSlam match. But this is WWE. They don't always wait for things.
I mean, we can all say for sure that Sasha is likely to turn in this match.
No.
You don't think so?
Not in the match, no.
After the match?
I would say it could happen on Raw, but unless you're doing Bayley and Sasha. The turn happens when you're ready to do Bayley versus Sasha. If you're doing it on SummerSlam, then you gotta wait for the turn. If you're doing it at Payback, then you do it the night after WrestleMania. I don't think they're putting it on Nia. I think it would be a mistake to put it on Nia. This is an elimination match, by the way. Don't think Sasha gets it, which means I think it comes down to Bayley versus Charlotte in the end. I don't like picking against Bayley, but this is a WrestleMania. This is a Vince McMahon booked show. We thought Sasha was winning last year and Charlotte won. We all believe Charlotte won't win this one.
The predictable outcome is for Charlotte to win, though.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
That's perfect. This is a tough one to call. It really is.
I can see you putting it on, or I can see them putting it on Nia just because that creates a whole new level of challenge for that roster. Also, it's not one of the golden three that has the title. And I think, you know, as much as I love Bayley and Sasha and Charlotte, I think a lot of people are a little tired of one of those three, especially Charlotte and Sasha holding the title. We don't want to see that again. We want to see a new innovative feud. And yes, you're going to have people come up from NXT and you're going to reinvigorate the roster that way. But it's like you've had the same four people essentially fighting over the title ever since the brand split. Because Summer Rae is hurt. Paige is injured / on her honeymoon right now. And I think that's it.
Summer's been training and Emma is...
And right, Emma is MIA.
Emma's coming soon.
I keep forgetting about Emma.
Zach needs to work harder.
Zach needs to work harder, yes. I mean, so it's like... I feel like the predictable thing is that, you know, okay, you have Bayley win the title, she carries it to Mania, and you have Charlotte win her fourth title, fifth title in a year.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that off of Bayley at WrestleMania. You give her that moment. But it's like, I would rather see someone like Nia Jax get it, because then that creates a whole new problem. Because it's not, she is not someone Charlotte can push around.
To answer the thing in the chat room, Bayley's never going heel. No, Bayley's not going heel. You have so much, the little girls out there, never.
Bayley, this is not necessarily an apt comparison, but Bayley is essentially the female John Cena. They're not going to turn her heel.
Because she connects with the little kids like no one else can right now.
She's their next megastar. There's money in her. They know there's money in her. They're not going to turn her heel. Especially, not right now. Possibly later in her career.
Once those little kids grow, once those kids grow up, then you can have it. But now that you're catching on with 4, 5, 6 year olds with her, you ain't turning her heel for anything. You lose so much money. Whew.
I mean, honestly, I can't see how you would do the Bayley character right now as a heel. That's the thing, is it's like the character is such a natural face that it's like it really makes sense to just keep her as that eternal baby face. It's just like Charlotte as a heel. Charlotte works so much better as a heel. It really should stay one.
Twitter, Ashley on Twitter goes, Dana costs Charlotte. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know if Dana gets involved. She would be the only woman not involved in WrestleMania somehow.
You know who else could screw Charlotte out of the title? Because phrasing? Her father?
No, I don't know. By the way, side note, Ric Flair's statue got released. Turn up on .com and whatever. Why does it look like Ric Flair is crying?
Because he cries in everything!
They made a statue of him crying. Just saying. Just wanted to point that out. As far as the match goes, I'm going Charlotte. I don't know. I'm going to be wrong, but I'm going Charlotte.
How much time is there between Mania and Payback?
4 weeks.
Trying to think. So, if anybody takes it off of Bayley, you burn Bayley's rematch in San Jose. Is that a Raw show?
Yep.
So you burn Bayley's rematch in San Jose. I'm just trying to think how they would do it to where Bayley loses that match, either from outside interference or on her own. Then you build the feud from there. You have how many months till that's too long to go to SummerSlam.
Because also, you we're all thinking Asuka's coming up.
Asuka might be coming up, but I don't think she's showing up at Mania.
But I'm saying, you counteract it where, you know, if the direction you're going with her, if there's a heel champion, Asuka can go right for the belt against the heel champion. That's sort of, I don't know, just thoughts.
Somehow, someway, I think Bayley wins. I don't want to pick up against Bayley. I don't think they're ready to take that title off of her just yet, unless Sasha turns on her. But I'm picking Bayley, but for whatever reason, I think it's going to be Nia.
You're picking Bayley, but maybe Nia? Or you're picking Nia?
I have to think about that one more than what we have. I actually have to think about it and look at it. You know, screw it, Nia.
So this will add to your confidence. 8-Ball went with Nia, and the video game went with Bayley.
That's helpful.
She may change this before Saturday.
The only reason I say Nia is it's fresh, it's different, it's new, and it presents a completely different set of challenges for all the women on the roster. Plus, if you have Asuka come up, you can do Asuka versus Nia.
You could.
At some point for the title. So it's like, it's just, it's different. It's something new. And I think Nia with the belt would be very similar to Beth Phoenix back in the day when she won that Divas title. And nobody could take that title off of her. Nobody. Until Eve.
Alright, AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon. This is a traditional wrestling match with probably a rough bump. Just call me crazy. There'd probably be a rough bump.
Or two.
So Shane can go flying. Where Shane flies off of something as, you know, AJ's coming down. Maybe AJ.
They probably walked Shane around the arena and said, you cannot jump off the following, and just pointed at everything.
Pretty much, yeah. This will be good. I talked to Pete Gass about it a couple weeks ago. Available now at rockradioshow.com. And, he's great friends with Shane and whatever. And we both are in agreement. It's like, this match will be better than people think. It's like, there's not really a bad Shane McMahon match. He may have some of the worst punches in the world, but the matches he always delivers. And again, go back to Kurt Angle and Shane McMahon. They delivered a great match. Shane knows how to bump for somebody. And he's going to bump like hell for Shane, for AJ Styles. I know a lot of people are disappointed in this whole AJ Styles is not in another match. It's like, but Bray and Orton have had their story. So they have to tell their story. That's where that goes. You can't put AJ in that. Then there's no one else for AJ to fight. Because you're with the brand split, there's no other opponent for AJ. Yes, I know Shawn was an option, but Shawn was never an option.
Shawn, okay. I just want to address this to everybody thinking that it's like pissed that Shawn Michaels does not want to work AJ. Shawn Michaels is permanently retired. He is not coming out of retirement. He said this multiple times. He's not coming back. He is done. So to everybody that's pissed about that, just get over it.
This is where Shawn goes, maybe I shouldn't have said that. And he mentioned that when he said it. It's like, maybe I shouldn't be talking about this, but I was off for the match. So there you go.
I think they offer Shawn something every year, and I think he turns it down every year.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to tempt him, and he's just like, yeah, no, I'm good.
Vince McMahon did Shawn dirty last year. He's like, yeah, so I have this idea for a segment, and it's going to be you and Stone Cold and Mick Foley, and you're all going to come out in your gear. So Shawn gets in this tip-top shape, and he's ready to go. He'll be in his gear to come out and do the little segment he did with the League of Nations. And then Stone Cold doesn't come out in his gear. And Foley just comes out in his sweatpants. It's like, they did Shawn dirty. Anyway.
I'm not sure who taught Shane to bump.
Dr. Tom Pritchard.
There you go. But yeah, Shane's greatest attribute is he can bump and he can sell. Like, nobody's business. Shane is not the most talented wrestler. He is not a technician by any stretch of the imagination. He can't throw a punch to save his soul, but he tries. He works his butt off. And you can't fault him for that. And between him and AJ, this is, I think, going to be a lot better than what people realize. Because AJ's going to, they've probably already been working together. AJ's probably going to walk him through it. AJ will lead the match. It'll be fine. They'll get through it. They'll both probably end up looking like $1 million. Whether the match looks like $1 million or not, that I don't know. But AJ's going to make Shane look good, and Shane's going to do his best to make sure AJ looks good. Because lest we forget, Shane came back because he wanted to do this again. Like, he wants to be there. He cares about being there. This is important to him.
AJ Styles wins.
I don't know about... Again, it's like, some of these are really hard to call. Because it's like, okay, yeah. There are probably going to be shenanigans in this, because AJ's the heel, right?
Mm-hmm.
AJ's the bad guy. So there are probably going to be some sort of shenanigans. But Shane is the GM. So it's like, if AJ, like, smacks Shane with a chair and gets himself disqualified, Shane can just sit up and be like, okay, we'll restart the match, make it no DQ match.
Good. Or they could do their brawling before the match even starts.
Or they could do, well, you already have one unsanctioned match. I don't think you're going to have two. But Shane did get screwed out of his victory last year with Taker.
Yeah. So you're going with Shane?
He's the GM. I'm just trying to think about how this would play out in my head of, you know, okay, AJ beats Shane.
So he can then be the cocky heel who holds that over Shane McMahon all the time.
So then do you go to a second match?
No. 8-Ball has Shane. Video Game has AJ Styles. Lindsay has...
Screw it, I'll say AJ. Shane puts him over.
Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker. Can't wait for Taker's entrance.
Oh my god, it's going to take him forever to get to the ring. It's going to be cool as hell, but it's going to take him forever to get to the ring.
Please don't have Roman Reigns. Please don't have Roman win. Please don't have Roman win. Please do not have Roman Reigns win. I have to ask you nicely. Please do not have Roman Reigns win. Because Roman Reigns will be a Blame Rob candidate the next day.
They're going to have to get him out of the building first.
Somehow, some way. Please do not have Roman Reigns win. I'll say this. The phone number is 267-297-1397. If you're unhappy when The Undertaker loses to Roman Reigns, please call and leave a voicemail.
I'll be calling and leaving a voicemail, everybody's aware. I have my own show, but I will be calling and leaving a voicemail. And you'll hear it that next week. It'll be very similar. If you were listening to this show when the streak died, it'll be something like that.
So again, if you're really upset when Roman Reigns beats The Undertaker, 267-297-1397. That's the humor part of this segment. Now, whose yard is it? Is it The Undertaker's or Roman Reigns? Who's the big dog? It's always been the big dog, The Undertaker, but Roman Reigns calls himself the big dog, and The Undertaker says it was his yard. Now Roman says it's his. And
the biggest factor playing into this is Taker's health.
And we all know it's not very good.
And we all know, I mean, at least his physical health. You know, his body is not 20 anymore.
It's broken.
He sustained a lot of abuse, and it's something of Taker's continue to come back year after year after year and try to put on the best match that he can. And they've backed off him a little bit because he indicated, look, I can't save the show every year. I can't have that epic level match anymore. My body won't let me. So they backed off him, and he kind of lowered what type of match he could deliver. They're still good because it's Taker, but it's not that epic match that we're used to seeing, and he's kind of backed off a little bit in recent years. I don't want Roman to win. I don't want that to happen. I really don't. As much as I like Roman Reigns, as much as I know Roman Reigns is the future of that company, I don't want Roman to be Taker. I don't want it.
The video game says a no contest. They counted both men out. The 8-ball has Roman Reigns. I do not want Roman Reigns to win, not with green eggs and ham. I do not want Roman Reigns to win, nor with Sam I Am. The Undertaker needs to beat Roman Reigns. Because I do not want to say Roman Reigns beats The Undertaker. I don't want that to be a thing.
The only reason I don't want it is because the implication that this could be Taker's last match, and this is me personally, I do not want Roman Reigns to be the one that retires The Undertaker.
I'm going to respond to Ashley on Twitter. Roman Reigns is going to get booed no matter what.
Yeah, he is.
Not when if he wins. He's going to be booed the moment he steps onto the WrestleMania stage. Just saying.
I mean, I know they're going to push the hell out of Roman. I know he's the future. And all that stuff. And it's like, if the implication weren't that Roman Reigns beats The Undertaker and it's going to be The Undertaker's last match, that they're throwing the word retire around, it's like I would be kind of okay with Roman beating Taker, but it's the implication that Roman is going to retire The Undertaker, and it's like, no, I'm sorry, for me personally, for me as a fan, no, I can't do that. I can do a lot. I can't do that. I just can't. Not when it's Taker. Y'all don't understand that Taker is the whole reason I started watching WWE. The entire reason. And yes, the man deserves to retire. He deserves to go home and be with his wife and his children and get hip surgery and be healthy and not hurt anymore. Like, he deserves all of that. But it's like, the streak hurt a lot. And I know the day is going to come where Taker retires. I understand that. And it's coming rapidly. You know, every year is, you know, we sit here, we debate this. Is this Taker's last match? Is he done? We don't know. But, you know, there are rumblings within WWE. They're worried about his health because he's in a lot of pain. He's not moving well. You know, everything is pointing to, and I mean, last year Taker said, supposedly, I'm done. After the match with Shane, he's like, that's it. I'm out. I'm done. But they lured him back for one more match. So it's like, it's just, I can't do Roman winning. I can't do it.
Actually, on Twitter, I feel you, Lindsay. I'm right there with you with Undertaker.
I mean, it's like Roman deserves the world. Roman's going to have the world. That's the thing. They're doing everything in their power to make Roman Reigns. It's like, here's the thing. If you have Roman beat Taker, you need to turn Roman heel. That very next night, you need to turn Roman heel.
Roman on Raw was a fantastic heel.
Yeah, I mean, they're having Roman essentially already play the heel while still kind of treating him like a face. Given the fan reaction that's going to come if Roman beats Taker, you need to turn him heel and just go for it.
And please, when Roman Reigns beats The Undertaker, do not have The Undertaker shake the man's hand. Don't do it. Yes, you heard what I said. But anyway, Taker wins.
I'm going to be optimistic and say Taker wins, just because it's Taker. And I understand the streak does not play a factor anymore, but I don't see them hanging another loss on The Undertaker at WrestleMania. I could be completely wrong on that and have him retire with, you know, what, you know, 23-2. I think that's going to be the official number. It's either going to be 24-1 or 23-2. It's like, I don't think they want to hang that second loss on him. Not at Mania.
Okay. Triple H versus Seth Rollins. Non-sanctioned match. You're going to get chairs, you're going to get tables, you're going to get sledgehammers, you're going to get everything you can possibly think of in this matchup. It's going to be a big-ass brawl. You will get Samoa Joe's involvement.
Definitely.
And I would assume the Demon involvement as well. That's just me.
Yeah, I think you're going to have Balor show up.
This has been one of the best built matches on the show. no joke, Seth Rollins being injured helped the story. What Hunter, Hunter's been at his best on the microphone, without a doubt. This is one of them where it's easily built where Seth Rollins gets redemption over Triple H, right?
Right.
So that's your winner, right?
Maybe.
Who's your winner?
I don't know. I really don't. Like, I know everybody's like, oh my god, it's so obvious, but to me it's not. It's like, technically, it should be Seth. Seth gets his revenge, but it's Hunter, right? There's always a plan B with Hunter. And it's like, you're doing an unsanctioned match, which means you're going to have Hunter and Seth eventually do the sanctioned match with each other.
Because the match can end with Samoa Joe helping Triple H beat Seth Rollins. Triple H gets the win, and then you hear the demon music. And the demon shows up.
Because, I mean, here's the thing. It's not really a match. It's a fight.
Yeah.
So who's going to win the fight? Who has the better backup? Finn Balor, or, you know, is Finn Balor the better backup, or is it Samoa Joe? Who else is Hunter going to have at his disposal? Like, that's the thing. It's like, Hunter has an entire performance center full of people that are ready and willing and able to stand up and fight for him.
Yeah, it's still pinfall. It is still pinfall. It's like Shawn Michaels Triple H from 2002. It's pinfall.
I just remember Shawn being left as a blessed mess.
After he won the match. It was an awesome match. One of my favorite matches of all time, but that's because it's Shawn Michaels. I'm glad you went the way you did, because I feel better going Triple H wins.
Yeah, something tells me Hunter's going to win.
Again.
I just get the feeling.
Joe helps Hunter win. Finn shows up as a surprise afterwards.
Yeah.
Video game in 8-Ball goes Seth Rollins. Because I just like putting over the Triple H movement. John Cena and Nikki Bella take on The Miz and Maryse. This has been some straight fire.
You want to talk about a well-built feud?
This, for 6 weeks, has been promo city, and it's been amazing. The Miz and Maryse have been on point mocking John Cena and Nikki Bella, but John Cena has been throwing some fire down. Old school John Cena fire straight right at you. He's been doing it since his return with AJ Styles, and now he's turning his direction towards Miz. John Cena's been on point. It's been really on point. Miz has held his own. Maryse has held her own. Nikki's been there. Nikki's had has had two great lines on this whole feud, and it's she's been great. She's played her part well. I've enjoyed this immensely. I'm going to miss John Cena now when he's gone, because I'm digging this John Cena. But we know, yeah. We know John's leaving, because he's got movies up the wazoo to do. That's fine. Nothing against the man.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of brought new life back into John Cena. Everybody, I think, or a lot of people, fans, particularly fans of Total Divas and Total Bellas, have been waiting for Nikki and John to kind of come together on WWE television. It's been a very deliberate separation for them over the last few years, ever since it kind of got made public that, hey, they're dating. So, I think everybody's been waiting for this. It's been really well done on both sides. Miz and Maryse have just been on fire in terms of what they've been doing, and John and Nikki have been giving those punches right back. I've enjoyed the hell out of this. I know a lot of people haven't, but I have loved this. This is like just straight up drama and everything else, and it's just like, yes.
There's a part of me that can see The Miz winning and with a cheap win and then just going, ha 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 ha. I beat John Cena, ha 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 ha. Instead, it's going to be an AA 1-2-3.
Yeah. Now, let's the tiebreaker.
In this whole situation.
The tiebreaker in this whole situation is John Cena going to get down in one knee and propose to Nikki Bella?
Video game has John Cena winning and 8-Ball has Miz Maryse. We're both with John Cena, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The 8-Ball, in terms of predicting whether the proposal happens, says no. I say yes. Because it's going to lead to a SummerSlam wedding. Oh, yeah. Al Roker is a special guest ring announcer for pop culture. Because, you know, Today's Show. Tie-in. Thank you, Ashley, for reminding me about that. I kind of forgot. What do you say? Proposal or no proposal?
Everything in this feud has pointed to John Cena proposing. Everything in the last two feuds for Nikki Bella has kind of pointed to John Cena getting down on one knee and proposing to her. And John Cena saying, oh, don't count your chickens before they're hatched. It's been tossed around. It's been discussed. Honestly, I think yes. I think he proposes. I think he gets down on one knee in front of 70,000 people and says, Nikki, will you marry me? And you have that Elizabeth set Randy moment.
Where she'll scream,
Ooh, yeah.
You know, where you just, you have that moment. I mean, Nikki's neck is hurt, again, though she is cleared to do Mania. So, her career may be coming to an end. You don't know. I mean, in all likelihood, she's probably closer to being done than we think, just because of her neck. Because, like, you know, when she got the surgery done, it's like, well, then you're really on borrowed time for your career.
Always are. Ask Edge.
Ask Edge. No, ask Austin. Ask Lita. Ask everybody. You're really kind of on borrowed time with neck surgery. And when Nikki came back, she came back full time, not realizing that she really shouldn't have come back full time or be taking the bumps as hard as she was taking them. Like, I guess she wants to go balls to the wall and everything like that, and that's awesome. But, I think she was doing a little bit more than she should have, and so she kind of re-hurt herself.
She got hurt again when she speared Breezy Bella.
Bless Breezy Bella. But, yeah, so Nikki, I think, is closer to being done than we all realize. So it would make sense that John gets down on one knee, he proposes to her, and they kind of sort of have that ride off into the sunset moment. Like, I don't think Nikki will ever be fully out. She will always be around part-time, just like Brie will always be around part-time. I wouldn't be surprised in the least if we don't have Brie come back for SummerSlam and you have Nikki and Brie do their retirement match together at SummerSlam or at another pay-per-view.
By the way,
secondary tiebreaker.
Oh, you know where I'm going. Awesome. So talk about it.
So, Brie Bella, speaking of her sister, Brie Bella is ready to pop. This is your Total Divas, Total Bellas moment. She is heavily pregnant with Birdie. She's due any time, and her entire family is in Florida right now. Wouldn't that just be, you know, perfect for Brie to go into labor Sunday, and she steals Nikki's thunder by having the baby on Sunday?
It would be the greatest thing ever.
Like, they're rushing Daniel Bryan to the airport because his wife is in labor.
And Nikki's been waiting so long to get married, engaged, and then Brie has the baby right as it happens. Be the perfect thing. Perfect. Because I like the drama like that.
Yeah. You gotta add a little drama. Just a little bit.
Anyway, next match. I'm going to say the words, and you're going to just go. WWE Championship Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton.
You want to talk about well-built? You want to talk about slow burn? Here it is, baby. Here it is. This crap has been going on since SummerSlam. Survivor Series.
No. They first teased each other then the Tuesday before SummerSlam. They teased it. Then they were going to have the match. Orton had a concussion. They needed a match. Then they had the one match. Luke got involved. And you go from there. Then he joined the family. Yeah, he did.
He wasn't a part of the family.
He joined the family.
He was not a part of the family.
Everyone calls him part of the family, even in the WWE WrestleMania 33 Collector's Edition. Called him part of the family.
He was not a part of the family.
Everyone calls him part of the family, but you.
He said himself he was not a part of the family.
He was part of it.
He was not part of the family. Anyway, this has been going on for that long, where you had Orton betray Bray, he burns the compound to the ground, and then gives a stupid excuse of, oh, hey, I totally thought that would get Bray off my backside to, you know, burn down his compound and kill his mentor, who's already dead. Just, you know, reburn her for shits and giggles. And then, this past Tuesday, things escalated to an occult level, where we have Randy go back to the compound after Bray has absorbed Abigail's powers, and he's spitting out random black liquid.
So, but let's go, you gotta backtrack. The week before, he did the thing with the thing, and the ceremony and with Randy and the thing, with all the sheep's men around him.
That was cool, by the way.
That was very cool. Then Randy went back.
Yes, then Randy went back to the compound where he shoved a crucifix into Abigail's grave. Sparks went flying, which, by the way, for those of you who don't know, because we had to Google it, crucifix is a Skyrim reference.
Supposedly. Supposedly. It may not be. It may just be something they made up. We're not 100% sure.
It seems like it's a Skyrim reference where it's a soul destroyer / stealer thing from Skyrim.
But I've also heard they just made it up.
Maybe a little from column A, a little from column B.
You never know.
You never know. Anyway, so you had Orton do that where he tries to kill Abigail again for the second time in like a month while Bray's watching. And Bray really doesn't have a reaction to it this time. Mm-hmm. Like, the first time he was swearing murder and promising Bernie fiery death to Randy. This time it's kind of like, oh yeah, right, okay, sure, you know, yeah, okay, you think you can destroy her, right. She's inside me now, dude.
But was that even the body?
Yeah, there's the alternate theory. Do you want to go with that one?
Go ahead.
The alternate theory floating around because, you know, drifting out in the woods is one Eric Rowan. We don't know where he is. We don't know what he's up to, but he's been posting these really cryptic videos on his Twitter of him wandering around, carrying bodies, being surrounded by people in sheep masks in a house. So you really don't know what Eric's up to. But there's a theory that Eric moved Abigail's body, and the person that he's hauling around in the videos is, in fact, Abigail.
It's a theory.
It's a theory. Whether it's true or not, we don't know.
We don't know.
I mean, I would think that Bray would kind of notice that. Just a thought. That, you know, hey, look, the ground got redisturbed. These boards are up, and Abigail's gone. Gee. But yeah, no. So it could be. It could be entirely possible that Eric moved Abigail, and she's not really in the grave. I would tend to doubt that, just from the way that they're showing this. But there is a factor in this match of one Eric Rowan, and if he's going to play one or not. Because we haven't seen him. We know he's cleared. We know he's back on the road. He's there at Mania, because they're all there.
And if he's not in the Battle Royal, he will be involved somehow, I would assume.
Because while Bray's on bad terms with Luke, he's not on bad terms, as far as we know, with Eric.
But at the end of SmackDown, Luke looked into Bray's eyes and may have felt back in connection with Bray Wyatt.
Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. Like, and that's the other side, is this whole Luke Harper split.
Is that Bray playing Orton this entire time?
Yeah. You know, is it Luke and Bray saying, okay, well, you know, he wants to split up the family? Because, again, I refuse to believe that someone as intelligent as Bray Wyatt says he is didn't see Orton was trying to break them up. Like, never picked up on that. Never saw that. Ever. It's like, you cannot be that blind to it. Like, Luke saw it. The audience saw it. Shane and Brian saw it. Like, everybody saw it. Except for Bray? No. I refuse to believe that. Like, there's no way that came out of left field for him. No way. And if he did, we need to talk about his leadership skills.
They would have to come into question, yes.
We would need to call this into question at that point. So, it's, okay, are Luke and Bray playing Orton? Or did Orton really manage to sever the bond between Luke and Bray? Bray obviously has some kind of control still over Luke, because as you said, at one point during the match, Bray looked into Luke's eyes and started speaking, and it stopped Luke.
When that black stuff started coming out, the sister Abigail inside Bray Wyatt came out, Luke was still falling back in line. He was in a trance again, and that's how Bray won the match. They all can play a factor. This is a match Bray and Randy really want. They're going to do everything they can to have the best match on the show. Will they? That will be up for debate. But they're going to give it their best chance. This is Bray's chance as WWE Champion to deliver in a high-profile situation. If you think about it, Randy's done more spooky magic than Bray Wyatt has in this feud. Think about that one. Think about it.
But it's, what kind of spooky magic is Bray Wyatt going to pull out? You know, and we're going to go back to the question of, is Abigail going to appear? No, I don't think so. Not in a human form.
No.
I think they're going to keep her purposely ambiguous. There may be some type of, you know, lightning flashes or flickering lights or some kind of indication that she's there. Like, if anything, what would be really cool is at some one point in the match when Orton's got the upper hand, the lights go out, and when they come back up, there's the chair whole again with Luke and with at least Eric and possibly the rest of the family there. And when I say the rest of the family, I mean all the sheep dudes that showed up with Bray the other week by the ring, surrounding the ring, and the chair just there.
That all said, Bray's going to have a fantastic entrance.
Oh my god, I can't wait.
I have a feeling he's going to have something creepy, creepy cool as an entrance. Now this boils down to who wins. Wrestling logic goes, Royal Rumble winner should go on to WrestleMania and win the WWE Championship. That's wrestling logic. Bray Wyatt won the belt, Elimination Chamber. He beat John Cena and AJ Styles. Then he beat John Cena again on the SmackDown Live the following Tuesday. It's a way to establish Bray Wyatt. A win over Randy Orton would solidify Bray Wyatt as a top-tier player. I'm so torn.
I want Bray to win. I kind of need Bray to win. It's like Orton winning the title. It's like, yeah, okay. This doesn't really do anything for me, though. You know, it's like, yay, Orton's champion. Yay. You know, it's like, who does that really help? But it's like, I get it if Orton were to get that, you know, oh, hey, you took the pounding from Brock, so here's the title as a thank you type thing.
I don't think
that's what Orton wants.
I get the reason. Now let's go back through the card. We have an Intercontinental title change. We have a possible Cruiserweight title change. We have a Raw Tag Team title change. We're going to have a U.S. title change. We could have a Raw and SmackDown Women's title change. Do we need a WWE? We're going to have a Universal Championship title change, which we'll talk about in a moment. Do we really need to change every title?
No, because I don't think they're going to change every title. They generally don't.
Ashton Turner goes, Bray deserves it more. Yes, he does. She also wishes this was the last match of the night. So did Corey Graves. Corey Graves is in your camp. This one, too.
I think a lot of people are in this camp where it's like, this really should be closing the show, but it's not going to close the show. But hey, you know, if you want to turn off Mania after this match, because it may be right before the Universal title match, go for it. Nobody will judge you for that. Trust me. Honestly, Bray does need it more. It's like, Orton can win that title at any point. He doesn't necessarily need to win it at Mania, and I don't think Orton really wants to win it.
Bray needs his WrestleMania moment, and he needs a big win.
Because, I mean, it's like, I think Randy has come back to really start to give back and to put people over, and I think Randy is in the mindset that he wants to do this for Bray. He wants to put Bray over. Like, you know, Bray has proven himself. He's proven his lasting power.
If you don't make anyone, there's no one to fight.
Because it's like, here's the thing. You can go on to do, depending on how this goes, it's like you can do Bray and AJ. You can do Bray and Dean. You can do Bray and Harper. You know, the list goes on SmackDown until, you know, somebody eventually takes the title off Bray and then you move it forward. Like, I don't think he's going to be champion at SummerSlam, but I want to see him walk out of Mania with the title because, you know, now he's the real deal. And now he's a threat. You establish Bray Wyatt as a threat to everybody on SmackDown because he's taken down John Cena, AJ Styles, and Randy Orton within the span of 3 months, going on 4. That's a message very loud and clear that Bray Wyatt is not someone to be trifled with.
He can lose the next night and he's established. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you could have him drop it on SmackDown, and it would be fine. You could have him lose it at whatever the next SmackDown pay-per-view is. That would be fine. But at Mania, I really want him to walk out as champion. This is not a need. This is a want. I want Bray Wyatt to win. Especially since Orlando is relatively close to Tampa, which is his hometown. It's actually technically Brooksville, but Brooksville's like a suburb of Tampa, so I want Bray to win. I kind of need Bray to win. Because if Bray loses to Orton, I will cry. I can't deal with Roman beating Taker and Bray losing in the same night. I had to do that like 3 years ago at 30. I don't want to do that again. Okay, that was a bad night.
You tell me. Bray. A ball in the video game Bray. Right?
Right.
Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal title. Ashley and Troy, how many people leave the stadium when during Brock Goldberg? None.
I wouldn't say none. I would say a handful probably leave.
But nothing. It's to beat the traffic. But they're not leaving because it's Brock Goldberg. They're leaving because of traffic. This will be 10 minutes. This will be smoke and mirrors, a couple spears, a couple jackhammers, a couple F5s, a bunch of suplexes. Brock Lesnar is your new Universal Champion.
Yeah. Agreed. 100% agree. Goldberg is done after Mania.
Simple and easy. The feud has been built up fine, but Brock is the guy, and Brock is your champion. Simple as that. And Brock will be around a lot more than people probably think.
Yeah, I mean, he can't go back to UFC at this point, so he's going to be around WWE. He wants to make the money. He's looking for those paydays. So, and they've worked it out with him where it's like, look, we need you at more shows. He's not going to be doing house shows. He's not going to be doing
schedule. He won't do a full schedule, but he'll do a house show here or there.
Yeah, it's not going to be the full schedule, but he will be there enough to make his presence felt. And honestly, I would suspect he doesn't have the title long. Maybe?
The Vince plan is a year.
Oh, God, I can't do a year.
If he's around all the time, then that's fine.
I can't do a year. Here's the thing. A year is like, no. Because with the brand split, he's going to run out of people to face. So either you give him a bye on the 30-day rule and not have him defend,
I would actually have a lose at SummerSlam, but as of now, the plan is for a year from now. We'll see.
I mean, I know they want to do Brock and Roman, and I know they want to do it at Mania, but honestly, it's like, you know what? If you want to do Brock and Roman, do Brock and Roman at SummerSlam, have Roman win the title off of Brock, and then you have Brock cash in, and like Roman just beats Brock down so bad that Brock's gone, and he comes back around Rumble, and you just start to build that feud between Roman and Brock. That's how you do that. That's how you get there. But you don't have freaking Brock hold that title for a year, because I will scream.
So before the whole thing about Brock holding a belt for a year or losing at SummerSlam came about, I was like, Brock's going to win, he's going to get the title. I would have him lose in some, you want a WrestleMania Monday moment? Have Brock lose the title on Raw Monday to Finn Balor. How about that for booking?
I'd be okay with that.
Won't happen.
Totally won't happen.
Totally won't happen, but I'd be all cool with it happening and all that fun stuff. Alright, this goes out to people on Twitter and in chat room listening around the world. Send your picks to facebook.com/wildtalkradio. Network, or you can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio, or at Raccoon Show, whatever Twitter, Wild Talk Radio is the best, easiest to see. The winner of WTR Pick'em will get a copy of the book, Looking at the Lights, by Pete Gass. We have the ebook, so winner will get a copy. So Ashley on Twitter, send me your picks, you'd be eligible to win a copy of it. Well, man, send me your picks, you can email them, or tweet them, or Facebook them, however you want to do that. Stuff. Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadio Network or Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio is the best way to do it. You can win a copy of the book. Simple as that.
Hosts are not eligible to win.
Correct.
Just so everybody knows, hosts are not eligible to win this. So everybody that enters this, you're not competing against us on the network. You're competing against each other. We're not eligible. So submit your picks. Tweet them, email them, call them in, however you want to do it. Just get them to us so you can win a copy of the book.
And I would say 3 p.m. on Sunday.
Yes.
That being said, that was our WrestleMania preview.
It was. So everybody, are you excited? Are you ready to go? Because I'm ready to go.
And we're ready to go for another edition of the Rock Right Here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday Night Midnight-ish is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We'll have the Greater Than Great Debate, wrestling video games. We will have Say What and all that fun stuff. Well, the WrestleMania picks and beyond CB Radio Saturday Night. CB Radio Live, Facebook, Twitter.com, #BlameRob. Let us know who dies. Sunday night, right after WrestleMania, WTR Sunday night will be on the air. Recapping everything. At some point. I was taking a breath. To recap everything goes down at WrestleMania. WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Monday Night Raw post show, we'll talk all the things that happened on the WrestleMania Monday show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rack. Now, Rack Radio Show, Facebook, Twitter.com, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. Again, Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, it's WTR Sims, twitch.tv/Rack Radio Show. All the WrestleMania Sims are now available on Rock Radio Show on the YouTube, youtube.com/Rock Radio Show. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel, where you'll find YouTube-exclusive content, including our WrestleMania 33 Special Collector's Editions magazine book review, now available at youtube.com/Rock Radio Show. There are columns, blogs, whatever you want to call them, right now at wildtalkradio.com. I have my favorite WrestleMania matches. They're available at wildtalkradio.com. There is a book review from We Are NXT, the book, which is available on April 11th. The book review is now available. The future is now NXT is now available on April 11th. The book review is now available at wildtalkradio.com. There's a lot of content. Enjoy it all. It's WrestleMania. We do it up big. You've heard it all. We have a book review of the actual book coming soon to the show, probably in the next couple weeks. An audio one probably after the week after WrestleMania. But check out the things. We got a lot of stuff. All the fun stuff. WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com. It's a place to be for WrestleMania coverage. At WildTalkRadio, Facebook, on Twitter, at Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
You're going to run out of song.
No, you're good.
You're good?
Yeah.
Alright, well, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. Also, don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, BjornWick.net, FifeBoot.com, and Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lizzie Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week with our WrestleMania results. You don't want to miss it. So, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.